Rest? And pay another $20 for another day? Get up out that bed. I called up Claude. He's coming down here and pay your bill.
Claude? Who in the world is Claude?
A man I know.
Well, understand one thing right now. No strange man is going to pay my hospital bill. I shall stay here until honest money buys my freedom.
Get up out that bed! Mrs. Riley hollered. She snatched at the pajamas, but the body was sunken into the mattress like a meteor. Get up before I smack your fat face off! When he saw his mother's purse rising over his head, he sat up.
Oh my God! You're wearing your bowling shoes!
Ignatius cast a pink and blue and yellow eye over the side of the bed down past his mother's hanging slip and drooping cotton stockings.
Only you would wear bowling shoes to your child's sickbed!
But his mother did not rise to the challenge. She had the determination, the superiority that comes with intense anger. Her eyes were steely, her lips thin and firm. Everything was going wrong. Mr. Clyde looked at the morning paper and fired Riley. The big ape's career as a vendor was finished. Why was that baboon wearing his outfit when he was off duty? One ape like Riley could demolish 10 years of trying to build up a decent commercial name. Hot dog vendors had an image problem already, without one of them passing out in the street by a whorehouse. Mr. Clyde and the cauldron bubbled and boiled. If Riley tried to show up at Paradise Vendors Incorporated again, he would really get it in the throat with the fork. But there were those smocks and that pirate gear. Riley must have smuggled the pirate gimmicks out of the garage the afternoon before. He would have to contact the big ape after all, if only to tell him not to come around. You really couldn't expect to get your uniforms back from an animal like Riley. Mr. Clyde telephoned the number on Constantinople Street several times and got no answer. Maybe they had put him away somewhere. The big ape's mother must be dead drunk on the floor somewhere. Christ only knew what she was like. It must be quite a family. Dr. Talc had been having a miserable week. Somehow, the students had found one of those threats that psychotic graduate student had flooded him with a few years before. How it got into their hands, he didn't know. The results were already awful. An underground of rumors about the note was slowly spreading. He was becoming the butt of the campus. At a cocktail party, one of his colleagues had finally explained to him the reason for the laughter and whispering that were disrupting his previously respectful classes. That business in the note about misleading and perverting the young had been badly misunderstood and misinterpreted. He wondered if he might have to explain to the administration eventually. And that phrase, underdeveloped testicles, Dr. Talc cringed. Bringing the whole matter into the open might be the best plan, but that would mean trying to find that former student, who was the sort who would deny all responsibility anyway. Perhaps he should simply try to describe what Mr. Riley had been like. Dr. Talc saw again Mr. Riley with his massive muffler and that awful girl anarchist with the valise, who traveled around with Mr. Riley and littered the campus with leaflets. Fortunately, she hadn't stayed at the college too long, although that Riley seemed as if he were planning to make himself a fixture on the campus, like the palm trees and the benches.